That was ordinary. I'm very good. Thank you so much. Items received too late to be agendized. Okay. Are there any public members or members who wanted to speak this time? I don't see any hands, so we
Oh,
will.
wait, we do have one here.
They
We
see
do?
Taylor has her hand up.
Okay, where is her?
Stacy Taylor.
How can you tell?
Where can you tell?
Oh, got it. Okay.
Oh, raise hand. Okay.
Hi,
I was
Stacy.
looking for the yellow
Yeah.
emoji.
Yeah.
Yes,
Good
Stacy,
af
please.
good good afternoon or late morning, directors and staff. Stacy Taylor, can you hear me okay?
Yes, very well.
Oh, great. I'm just on the road back from the very beneficial Cal DESAL conference. And just wanted to say appreciation to Orange County Water District from Mesa Water, where I serve as water policy manager. And we enjoy working with you at all levels, staff to staff, director to director, and particularly want to express appreciation of working together and providing input on policy items. Had a chance to work with Alicia recently on your ledge platforms and positions in the packet today. And there is a project that we're working on together collaboratively with our other partners, the cities of Huntington and Newport Beach, called the Local Groundwater Supply Improvement Project, for which we together, with Mesa Water in the lead, got a grant from the Bureau of Rec, Water Smart Grant, and that study is going along great. And everybody is very excited about it, and we know that we'll be continuing to work together on that as we go to the next phase. Once the study gets released, which looks to be very promising, sometime in August, and we'll be going back out probably after that for a pilot project and some funding for that. So, just want to express our appreciation to all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Stacy. Appreciate your feedback on that. Next item is the consent calendar.
Move the consent calendar.
Motion to move by Director Green. I'd like to second. I hear a second. I'll second the motion. All right, so you have a motion to approve the consent calendar. Director Green and Tran is moving, seconding. Call for the vote.
Roll call, Director Tran.
Yes.
Director Mezqua.
Yes.
Director Wigand.
Yes.
Director Green.
Yes.
Director Zhang. Director Zhang.
Yeah, well, we're good. We have 4 votes.
Okay.
Did Eric vote?
Yes.
I did.
That motion carries.
Thank you so much. Okay. Move on to item number two, reports on state legislative updates, please. Mr. Jason Gonzalez, you're up.
Well, thank you, Director Tran and members of the committee. Jason Gonzalez, I'll be relatively brief. We're in the calm before the storm, I guess we can call it, in Sacramento. As you know, the legislature reconvened in January. We have 29 new members after the 2024 election, coupled with 37 new from 2022. So we have 60 and half of the legislature having served 2 years or less. So obviously, that just makes it imperative upon us to tell the OCWD story and can continue to educate the new members. The deadline to introduce bills is February 21st. The governor has called an extraordinary session. It started out as a reaction to the presidential election. It quickly moved towards addressing California's affordability crisis, as they call it, and then now includes wildfire aid, mitigation, and rebuilding efforts and relief. So we have the ordinary session and an extraordinary session. I'll start with the good news. Both houses reduced the number of bills members can introduce. In the assembly, they reduced it from 50 bills down to 35. In the Senate, from 40 down to 35. Now, the bad news, if you didn't math, that's 2,800 bills, 800 bills in the Senate. They
Jason,
could.
you keep going in and out.
Oh, my apologies. Can you hear me better now?
Yes, much better.
Okay, my apologies. I was recapping the bill reductions in the Assembly and Senate. The Assembly reduced the number of bills from 50 down to 35. The Senate from 40 down to 35. The downside to that is that still leaves for 2,800 bills in the Assembly and up to 1,400 bills in the Senate, about 4,200 bills. The deadline again is February 21st. There is thus far only 800 bills, many of which are still spot bills, and many are also pertaining to wildfire, the tragedy in Southern California. So we've seen about 800 of what could grow to, you know, 2,000 to 4,200 bills introduced. On the staff report, there's just the one item, AB 259 by Assemblymember Blanca Rubio. The staff report does a very good job of outlining the fact it's sponsored by the California Special Districts Association. Assemblymember Rubio's from the San Gabriel Valley region. She has authored legislation on open meetings in the past. This is merely seeking to remove the January 2026 sunset date in current law and extend the remote participation provisions, again, in current law, indefinitely in its current form. It's a legislation that is sponsored by, supported, has been supported by local governments throughout the state in prior years, and one that many, and including the district, utilizes, obviously, the flexibility. So the staff recommendation is a support on that bill. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions or turn it over to Don and Jason for anything I may have missed as I was cutting in and out. My apologies for that.
Thank you, Jason. Are there any questions, comments on the board? Seeing none, do you need a vote on the recommendation on the legislation?
You do. Move it.
Okay. I have a motion to approve support for AB 259. Can I hear a second?
Second for Jung.
Director Jung is seconding the motion from Director Green. Clerk, please call the roll.
Roll call. Director Tran?
Yes.
Director Meswa?
Yes.
Director Wigan?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Jung?
Aye.
That motion carries 5-0.
Thank you so much. Jason, anything else?
We'll do it on my end. I don't know if Don or Jason Eichert, if I missed anything on the state level they have to add, but that's the how things are shaping up here in Sacramento thus far.
Great. Very good. Thank you so much. We'll loop back and see you later. Moving on to Washington, warmer climes. Eric Sefferstein.
Thank you, Chair, and good afternoon, everybody. There's not much going on in Washington, so my report will only be about an hour and a half. Okay, let's get down to sort of substantive issues of concern, and I'll be happy to answer any questions about what is going on politically also. So two issues I want to bring to your attention. First, Senator Padilla joined with Lisa Murkowski, the Alaska Republican, to introduce a bill called the Improving Atmospheric River Forecasts Act. That bill is a reintroduction from last year. The district endorsed the bill last year and is listed as a supporter along with Scripps and a number of other water agencies and organizations throughout California. The bill essentially is as follows, and there's been no changes from what you folks saw before. It essentially directs the National Ocean Atmospheric Administration to establish a formal forecast improvement program within the National Weather Service. Effectively, what they're doing is they're establishing a formal program for FIRL. And some of the program elements are to essentially develop scientifically effective storm forecast and warnings in collaboration with public and private partners, that could be yourself, evaluate innovative observational tools and emerging technology that would improve atmospheric river analyses and modeling and warnings, and also authorizes NOAA to go out and buy additional aircraft and equipment that would sort of hypercharge, if you will, the FIRO program. And then sort of, I call this a throwaway provision. It's sort of in most bills. There's a nod to directing them to improve better communications with stakeholders on atmospheric rivers and the impacts that are expected. So as I said, that bill was introduced. It is a bill that will probably not raise a lot of controversy. And at some point in the next several months, we'll get a hearing before the Commerce Committee, which has jurisdiction over these agencies, NOAA, the National Weather Service. And we are, you know, we anticipate that it'll get through the Senate at some point. It's a good bill, and that's what I'll leave it for today. Perhaps a more pressing issue the general manager has been asking about recently is the status of your funding, of your grant assistance. If I remember, John, it's a $30 million grant that you're waiting on through, I believe, the Department of Interior's U.S. Bureau of Reclamation to address PFAS. If I got that right, John?
Yes. Yeah.
So we had a meeting with senior officials of the Bureau of Reclamation earlier this week just to see what was going on with what they're calling the funding pause or freeze on grants and other financial assistance that the president ordered implemented through Office of Management and Budget. The courts did put a temporary restraining order on that directive to the agencies. The Office of Management and Budget did basically pull that memo or directive back to the from the agencies. But there's still a lot of sort of questions like, when does the money come out? Two things I want to stress. One, what you're seeing in Washington at this point is normal for a presidential transition. Every administration comes in and says, hold on, hold everything. We got to look at what's going on first. That's point one. Point two, what's going on at the Bureau of Reclamation right now is they're actually going through a process with a handful of grant awards. Yours is not in there, is I believe. These are more sort of lower level dollar number grants that they're putting up to the Secretary's office to basically say, look, there's no DEI issues here. This grant award is for water-related activities that are in alignment with the president's directives to get more water into California type thing. And assuming that it passes the review process, that will be a signal to the Bureau that they can start moving all the other grant project requests like yours, the $30 million water smart assistance that you received, through the process at the Bureau of Reclamation to the Secretary's office, get approved, and then you'll get the money out the door in pretty quick fashion. When that happens, we anticipate that the decision on these sort of test case projects will happen in the next week to 10 days at most. And there's no expectation at this point in time that they won't get approved, and that will be like a conveyor belt situation to start all these other projects being put on the conveyor belt, go up to the Secretary's office and be approved. And then the Bureau will then start pushing the grant money out to the project recipients like yourself. I would say that I'm optimistic about this because one of the folks that's come over with the administration is a fellow by the name of Scott Cameron. And some of you may remember Scott's name from Trump 1.0. Scott is a really good guy. He's been around town for quite some time, was an Office of Management and Budget employee at one point in time. He understands California. He understands the WaterSmart program. He understands the value it delivers to agencies. So I have every expectation that Scott's going to look at these types of project awards and say, yeah, this is ready to go, push it through. So that's a quick update on where you are on your grant assistance request or award. As far as where we're going forward now on sort of macro level, You have the secretary confirmed that the Interior Department, and you have the EPA administrator confirmed that you know from the papers. I will tell you that from sort of sub-cabinet positions, a couple of good news stories. Jess Kramer, who used to be at EPA under then-administrator Dave Ross in Trump 1.0 as one of his legal advisors, then went to work for Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, who is now the chairwoman of the Environment Public Works Committee. Jess has been identified officially as the next assistant administrator of water. She has not been formally nominated, but she will be nominated now that Zeldin has been confirmed and sworn into office as EPA administrator. I'm very optimistic about Jess because she understands PFAS issues. She dealt with the PFAS issues for Shelley Moore Capito when she was on the committee as a ranking Republican. She is now the senior member, the chair of the committee. So we have somebody who will be sitting in the assistant administrator's office for water who understands the issues of PFAS and the water sector. Does that mean she's going to rewrite rules? Does that mean she's going to rewrite PFAS liability? No. What it means is that when she's asked solutions by the Committee on Environment and Public Works, for example, on how to deal with PFAS liability, she will give them answers and recommendations that will most likely be supportive of the municipal water sector. We don't have a commissioner over at the Bureau yet. Names are swirling around. It's a dangerous game to say who might be in and who may not be in the mix. But we do know that Jason Phillips with Friant, his name continues to bubble up as a possible nominee for the commissioner slot. We don't know if that's going to happen, but that's where we are there. We have a woman by the name of Andrea Tvetznek. I'm not pronouncing her last name correctly. She was the acting assistant secretary for water and science, which has responsibility for a number of activities in the Department of the Interior, including oversight on the commissioner's operations in the Bureau of Reclamation. She was acting, she has now been nominated officially to be the Assistant Secretary for Water and Science. And that's good because she knows the agency and at least will be in a position to sort of make the trains run on time. And then the last quick update, at least on appointments, this is probably old news to you folks, but Troy Edgar, who was at one point in time chair and then a board member, Orange County Sanitation District. Troy has been officially nominated by the president to be the next number two at the Department of Homeland Security. And why that's important, you can probably figure out many reasons on your own, but under DHS is FEMA. And if anybody saw the president's meeting about a week and a half ago in L.A. where he was talking about FEMA with the California delegation of note for Southern California, as well as some of the homeowners and what have you. Troy will have jurisdictional authority over FEMA when he is confirmed by the United States Senate to be the number two at Department of Homeland Security. I think at this stage, Chair, I'm going to stop. There's like 1,001 things in the executive orders or what have you that I could talk about. But if there's any questions in that area, I'd be happy to respond to them.
Thank you so much. Are there any questions? Comments? Seeing none, do we need to take a minute?
I have a question.
Actually,
I have a question real quick. Eric, Capito... I thought she was kind of coming over to the side of no liability for water agencies. Padilla had been in touch with her, and they were, I thought, pretty much in sync on that. Is that true? Or
that's very, very true. In fact, when she convened the confirmation hearing for Lee Zeldin to be administrator, she made a point of saying, this is one of my top priorities to deal with.
Okay. I thought that was the case. Okay. Do you have any action items?
I don't believe so, right, Gina or Alicia?
No. Everything's
There are none.
I didn't see anything, so just making sure. Okay.
Yeah, it's unfortunately or fortunately for all concerned, the first few weeks of a new session, it's sort of slow as they organized.
Okay. Very good. Thank you so much for the report.
Thank you.
Moving on to item 4 on the agenda. That's the Orange County Water District State and Federal Legislative Goals and Strategy platform. Who's going to do them?
Alicia, are you going to take this?
Yeah, so this is not for an action item. This is just for you to see kind of the input we've gained from staff and also producers for new items for 2025 that we haven't been working on. I know PFAS is still there, but it's the never-ending new item we still are asking for funding for, and liability protection as is mentioned. So this is just for us to kind of go through and see what your thoughts are, and then we can bring it back next month and make edits as you see fit. If you would all like to go through it.
Please.
So the first priority we have on federal is, of course, to on PFAS, to secure an explicit exemption for water and wastewater agencies from CERCLA liability. That's still there. And then we have some suggested strategies. And then provide future funding for PFAS remediation, of course. And then another new item is sediment removal behind Prado Dam. That's something that we would like to really focus on in 2025. And then, of course, we have item number 3 is forecast-informed reservoir operations, making sure that FRIRO is included in the use of management of Prado Dam, having the Army Corps include it in their water control manual. And also to help facilitate the adoption of a permanent deviation into the Army Corps' operating manual by 2030. And some of the strategies for FRIRO are the same for PFAS. And so that's kind of our next steps there. Item number 4, we can remove because as of the writing of this, we've already gained the word of language making water supply an authorized use of Corps facilities. So I'll remove that item because we've already gained that. Number 5, this was suggested by Roy Herndon, is to just keep seeking funding for the South Basin Groundwater Cleanup Project. We have gained funding in other ways, but not through asking for grant funding. So that's the new item that Roy has suggested. And then number 6 was suggested by General Manager Mark Toy with Yorba Linda Water District to support Orange County Water District's producers' water infrastructure funding requests, which we will do. Of course, we'll submit support letters or any way we can help, we would support their requests. And then the last item is suggested by Gina Ayala, which is to identify federal assistance for an enhanced tour educational area. And if you have any changes or suggestions for federal goals and strategies, please let me know and I'll incorporate it.
Are you going to add the local SIP?
I think that's something we've already worked on. I think Chris Olson, if he's there, can provide more context to that.
You know, we're just in support of their existing work right now. So we've contributed the $50,000. We're involved in the study that's happening right now. So we fully support it. I don't know that we need to include it on our list, but it's on theirs. We support them.
What about next phase? Is it a phase project?
Yeah, we could add it when the next phase kicks in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want me to add it now or do you want me to add it later?
No, go ahead and add it now. But, you know, we all know it's not going to really become active for a while.
Okay. Thank you. On the state side,
I have a question. I'm sorry.
Okay, great.
On the federal side, yeah. So you're going back to PFAS. I think when Dr. Bartel spoke here, it felt to me that there was a sentiment by my colleagues that we needed additional scientific information on PFAS, and one of them was the potential inadequacy of control group studies. Communities that are similarly situated that are different, though. And I give the example again of here in Orange County, we have South Orange County that utilizes imported water, and North Orange County
groundwater that has PFAS, and what are the differences of the health impacts of those two as one? And I would like to suggest that we look at this more to make some suggestions to the Environmental Protection Agency, because there are more studies going on all the time, and this is something, among other scientific work that can occur on this matter. The correlation between the amount of PFAS in the, and say the groundwater, and the amount of PFAS in the human body, and how that is correlated. Those are just two suggestions from my colleagues. Okay. Maybe we'd have a further discussion on this of what we thought was would be good.
Alicia, can you run the screen down to number one, or up to number one again, please?
Sorry.
Yeah, I think we may need, from what Director Sheldon is saying, is that, tell me if I'm correct here, is this to maybe to advocate or to research more on ways to advocate for scientific data on PFAS contamination levels and how it affects human health.
That would be correct. Perhaps our staff can look at the wealth of scientific data and come back and correct me if I'm not correct on these thoughts. I think that would be a good start, and then we can add that.
Yeah, for next month when we finalize this.
Sure. Yeah, so this relates, if I may digress a little bit, and this may relate back to if Eric Saperstein is still there on the screen, on whether the new administration, I should have asked this before, but if it's, I think it's pertinent here. Eric, whether the new, and this is reading the tea leaves, I know it's difficult and speculative, but based on you're closest to the sun, so you would know best, in terms of how the new administration and the officials who are going to be responsible for this issue, will there be any changes in the PFAS regulations?
Oh, so there's.
Or
I'm sorry.
It's going to be more stringent, or it's going to be loosened up. If you can share that.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Again, a little bit is a speculation. Maybe a lot of it is, but. Two things. I think you can rest assured that we're not going to be looking at more onerous provisions. I think what's going to happen, and this is part of the challenge, because the rules are final, for example, when it comes to the MCL and then liability designation under Superfund, the administration just can't pull it back. They'd have to formally repropose the regulations. Having said that, there is litigation ongoing on both issues. And there is the possibility that the litigants could maybe reach, and the litigants are like AWWA, AMWA, with respect to the MCL, for example. They could, I think, go and say to the court with the EPA, we'd like to sort of see if we can settle this and reach an agreement the court would bless, and maybe that might be a pathway to repropose the rule. That's one way they might do it. The other way would be particularly on any guidance documents or proposed rules that are out there that might impact PFAS generally. Those could be pulled. And I do know that in the case of, for example, the risk assessment model, it doesn't impact you guys directly on biosolids and PFAS. That risk assessment is not final. That could be pulled back. So I think to try to answer your question, first, not a situation where you're going to see more stringent standards developed. In fact, most folks would argue the standards out there scientifically won't withstand scrutiny. And two, one approach the agency could take is effectively try to repropose the original rule in a way that would be supportive of basically pulling it back without pulling it back. We're just going to have to wait and see. I will say, One of the things that Administrator Zeldin has identified is a concern for PFAS within the context of having standards that can protect public health, but that are scientifically valid. So I take some hope.
Thank you so much. Alicia, anything else?
So
I'm on the menu.
That's the federal side we went through. The state, if we scroll down, Danny, thanks for your help. State in orange or yellow here, a lot of it's the same as the federal. So that we're going to be asking for the same things on the state side as funding for PFAS, of course. And then the number two, the sediment removal behind Prado Dam. Assemblymember Dixon is super supportive of this. So she's really taking the lead on helping with this and bringing in the rest of the Orange County delegation to keep the momentum and statewide support for sediment removal behind Prado Dam for its use on local beaches. So that's something that we'll keep working with her on. And then FERO, we have funding in the state budget now that's ongoing for forecast informed reservoir operations. So we just want to make sure that that maintains and is not cut in any budget reduction rules that the governor may go through. And then another request from a producer is from Mark with Newport Beach to ensure that producers are gaining the maximum amount of bonus incentive or credit for potable reuse as it relates to the state's indirect potable reuse allocation, which Orange County Watershed championed and secured in statute in the Making Conservation a California Way of Life and in the rulemaking process. So we'll be sure as staff to provide calculations of GBRS water that they can remove per state law from their water budget. And then also input from Andy with the City of La Palma is to emphasize the difference between state droughts and regional and local droughts. The thing is, they want to say that certain areas have more impact of drought than Orange County Water District. They want to make sure that we're reaching out to let them know that we may not be as affected as other areas of the state. So one thing we could do is provide educational information, work with the governor's office and key elected officials to make sure that there isn't any one-size-fits-all drought restrictions. And then the last items on the state items are the same from Roy Herndon and Gina Ayala. Funding, if there's any state funding for the South Basin Groundwater Cleanup Project or any extra funding for an educational area from the state.
Okay, thank you so much.
That's all coming.
Any comments?
Yeah.
What?
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Both those comments from our producers, from Mark, that doesn't relate to legislation. It's state related, but the onus is on OCWD. Is that correct? There's no state resolution there. It's us to provide information to producers.
Right.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. And then it's a good suggestion. Number five, I think Mr. Ramirez came up with something that's great. And are there guidelines, regulations, statute on how the state declares a drought?
I'll have to work with Jason and Don to research that for you. And
that would be where we maybe start with if there is such those that that we would look at those to implement or look into implementing this proposal.
Okay.
And
so we'll definitely look at that and get back to you.
And thank Mr. Ramirez for his comment on our behalf.
Thank you, Steve. Anybody else?
Yeah, I have a question real quick. Are there Prop 4 monies for the SIP?
I'd have to look at the categories to see if that fits under any of the categories. Yeah, get back to you.
Okay.
It seems like it would. Yeah. So I'd like to verify that. Yeah.
Or refresh my memory on what the acronym SIP stands for.
Supply Improvement Program.
It's looking at a brackish water desalter plant along the coastline.
Okay.
where we've kind of abandoned parts of the basin because there's brackish water. And to pump that out, treat it with RO, and serve it. So it's looking at the feasibility of doing that, looking at plants maybe in New Port or Huntington Beach near the coastline.
Thank you.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Anybody else on the screen? I don't see any answers. I think we're done. Thank you so much. Thank you, Alicia.
Thank you for all your input. We'll get back to you.
Thank you, Alicia. Thank you.
If we can put this item on the board agenda for the next meeting.
I think this is a recommendation.
We're going to bring it back to this committee, incorporating these comments.
Okay.
Next month.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. All right. Thank you so much. Moving on to item 5, water bottle filling station program.
Thank you, Chair Tran. So this is a brief item. I'll go ahead while Danny finds that. So the Heritage Museum of Orange County has requested that OCWD sponsor a water bottle filling station on their grounds. And so the Heritage Museum of Orange County is located in Santa Ana. And we do have on their property, we do have two monitoring wells that we installed in 2017, as well as OCWD has some educational signage around the area that really speaks to education on the groundwater basin. So we really just come to you today to see if the board would like to move forward with sponsoring this filling station. It's estimated to cost up to $6,000. And then one thing that we wanted to seek also direction on is we may get similar requests like this. So if the board sees fit, we could certainly look to add to our fiscal year budget, you know, a certain amount annually. And we could consider, you know, certain filling stations in our service area. We do have a filling station that we put in. It was a number of years ago, maybe Chris remembers, but it's at Pegasus School. So we really haven't gotten tons. This is the second. But again, just wanted to bring this to you today for consideration to see if, one, you would like to move forward and sponsor, and two, do you want us to put an item in the budget so we can accommodate requests like this in the future?
So, Mr. Chair, you know, I'm going to make a motion to support it. We have a great relationship with the Heritage Museum, so I will make a motion to support it.
And I'll second.
All right. Any other comments?
You want to talk?
I was going to say, we could put this in the budget, and then every year we could do one. And we're going to have a nice OCW logo on here also. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask to substitute that motion to approve this one, but, you know, throw two in the budget annually. I think that gives us an opportunity to do two.
I just think if we
could do two of these a year, I think it's not a big deal. We're not seeing a ton of requests, but it allows us to come back we don't have to come back to the budget part. We can just come back to approving the specific request.
But Eric, nobody's asked us for this until now. I mean, Pegasus was years ago, right? 4-5 years ago?
Yeah.
Yes. Something like that?
Yeah.
Yes.
And now Heritage is asked. So, you know, I don't think there are lines of people who want this.
Right. I mean, I don't think we would be, you know, have to solicit it or anything that it has to spend. If it doesn't get spent, it just goes right back into the budget as a non-expense. So I'm just saying for sake of not having to come back every time we have to do one of these, we could do that. But I'm fine with just going forward with supporting the motion that's on the table.
Roger's got his hand up.
Roger. Record you.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Tran. I'm not a voting member today, but I just have a question about what criteria do we use to evaluate whether to participate in something like this, or is this, you know, if someone knows about this or they approach us and we would then consider, is that because Pegasus School is it's a very well-funded private school. I'm just surprised. I'm not against it. I'm just, you know, I just want a better understanding of what are the evaluation criteria.
Hello? Yes.
Yes. Question. Can someone answer Director Yeo's question?
Yeah, you know, Director Yeo, we haven't come up with specific criteria. We could, or we could just address it on a case by case basis.
Yeah.
Like we've had one request, and if we get a second one, we could bring that in and see if the committee and board is comfortable with it. You know, we're not
why,
sure.
Why did you? Well, I thought we'd agreed to be together.
Director Amezcua, you're coming through. But we're Director Yeo, we're not sure if we're going to have a lot of requests like this or not. So we could see how it starts out and see if we do get a lot of requests, and then maybe we should develop some formal guidelines.
And John,
but right now, we're just looking at it on a case by case basis.
John, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the similarity to with Pegasus and then the Orange County Museum of Heritage is that we do have wells on their property, right, similar to the school. So I believe that's why they both reached out to us. So perhaps if a criteria were developed, that could be included. Of course, it would have to be in our service area as well.
Yeah, I think there's got to be a more stronger nexus, like what Gina mentioned, because I just don't want to have a bunch of schools or museums lined up thinking that they can get free $6,000 from the district. Thank you.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Good idea. Yeah,
a couple questions.
Thank you.
That's fair.
Steve, you have any questions? Thank you. I share Director Yeo's sentiment, and would like to ask if there's any annual maintenance costs.
I have other questions as well. Are there annual maintenance costs if it breaks down? Who fixes it?
Go ahead, Gina.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I could reach out, but I mean the museum so far, and I believe you know it's at OCWD's direction. We could just sponsor the fillings, give the money for the fillings, and that's it. And that could be one of the criteria that the O&M is on the entity where the station resides, because the request did not include operation and maintenance, but we could certainly specify if the board chooses to accommodate this that we would not cover that.
Mayhol just said that we don't pay for maintenance at Pegasus.
Okay. So this is tap water that they're going to be filling there. And do we know if these are used, are they used by a great percentage of the visitors to the to that venue?
If I can, if I can step in for a second. So the Heritage Museum is visited by our schools, not just Santa Ana schools, but different schools. They always have events there. The city works with many organizations. They use the Heritage Museum for events. So I will tell you that it will be used. I don't see how it wouldn't. So there's too many people that visit, especially, like I said, when you're talking about the school children.
I understand that, but how many of them have the water bottle to be filled up, and how many of them would go to a tap water to fill it up with?
Well, a lot of the school districts in the county, I can't speak for Newport or others, but I know that Garden Grove, Santa Ana, I believe also Tustin, they have the kids bringing in their own water bottles ever since COVID. And Santa Ana Unified has actually installed similar devices on the schools. So and some of the other districts have as well.
And has there been any observations on the usage of those additional filling stations?
If you're asking for a percentage or they're used. I mean, when I have my water bottle and I go onto school campus, I fill my water bottle. So I can't give you an exact, and I'm not a Heritage Museum expert. I could just tell you that as a community member, as a previous school board member, as a current mayor, that Heritage Museum is used by many, many, many people and organizations and families. And so, you know, however the vote goes, I'm just saying this would be a good thing for our museum.
It sounds rosy and beautiful and wonderful. I just, you know, I'm just concerned this is something we should be spending money on. Not that it's not any money worth It's not a lot of money relatively to our budget, but and where does it end? So those are my concerns.
Well, we have a substituted motion. If there's no anybody else, I don't see anything on the screen.
I'll withdraw that. I'm happy with the regular maker.
All right. Then we have a motion from Director Amasula, second by Director Green, to approve $6,000 for the water machine, right? At the Heritage Museum.
I have one more comment. Madam Mayor, is this something that you think is important for your for the museum?
I believe so. Yes. Thank you for asking me. Yes.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
All right. Clerk, please call.
Roll call. Director Tran?
Yes.
Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Director Amezcua?
Yes.
Director Wigand?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
That motion carries 5-0.
Right.
Good propaganda on it. You're drinking our tap water. You're drinking our tap water.
Dirty water. All right. Number six on the first responder appreciation lunch.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. So staff was asked to research the possibility of OCWD hosting a first responders appreciation luncheon. And so we have done that, and we're bringing the information back to the board for consideration to see if you would like us to move forward with hosting an event of this nature. So, so far, Public Affairs has met with Human Resources and Risk and Safety at the district to really talk about who would be invited to an event like this. And so we talked about inviting the folks who would respond to emergencies at Orange County Water District at our facility in Fountain Valley. Not yet talking about like the Anaheim and Prado facilities, but perhaps something at a later date could be done for those. So we went out and also visited an event at Moulton Niguel Water District, who has been hosting an event of this nature for many years. And we kind of looked into if we hosted it at OCWD, when would we host it? How much would it cost? And so we would look to, if the board would like to move forward with something like this, we'd look to schedule it this year, sometime between July and December, thinking maybe it would be a good tie-in to schedule it in October, which is National First Responders. I believe there's a day or that's the month. And the format of the event would be that it would be a luncheon, just a very flexible drop-in, a buffet, whether it's sandwiches or something very simple like that. But really, it's just to express the appreciation of first responders in the area, and also for OCWD staff who would also be attending to really develop and enhance the relationships that we have. You know, many of Mayhul and Paula, some of our emergency management team, they're dealing with these folks or training with these folks. So it'd be great to strengthen the relationship, answer questions, and kind of get more information on certain areas if needed. So that is the extent of this one. And we did research, you know, what the cost would look like. We anticipate it would be somewhere around $10,000, and that would be to include all OCWD staff along with all of the first responders and folks that are invited. And it would just be a low-key event hosted on our campus. So right now we're just looking to the board to see if this is an event that you're interested in staff working on to host for the coming year. And I think Stacy has her hand raised as well.
Stacy, if you have any.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yes, thank you so much, Directors Gina, and love this idea. Just curious if this would include, say, the chiefs of police and fire from the basin cities and special districts. And we would be happy, of course, to help reach out to our fire and police chief if you were planning on including, kind of the regional first responders, as well as potentially OC Fire Authority and Sheriff Department you know, leads as well. So just curious about how broad the audience could be.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you for your comments, Stacey. I think at this time, really, we're looking to the board to make sure that, one, you know, this is an event that they are supportive of hosting, and then we can kind of flush out some of those details and make a tentative list and bring it back for feedback. But we are looking, you know, met with Paula, who I know is there at the meeting as well, and Stephanie, and really in talking with her about who would respond to OCWD, you know, in the event of an emergency, and who have they worked with. So, that is really kind of the area, Fountain Valley, Huntington Beach, Costa Mesa, the folks at Okaya who worked with us on the GWRS event. They helped to kind of come in and do a run through, make sure that the event was secure, to recommend any additional security measures that we had to take since elected officials were going to be in attendance. And then, of course, you know, we rock, but we are absolutely open, you know, if the board wants to move forward to working kind of with, you know, producers as well and others. So hope that answers your question, but it's kind of in progress.
I'm actually the one that brought this idea to staff. I was in attendance at the Moulton Agel responder, so I guess I've been a couple of times. But anyway, they had elected officials, the sheriffs and fire authority because of their area. It was the sheriffs were all there. That was the day of the big fire. So the fire were not there. And I think they did another one another day. They served barbecue. I don't know why they thought that all first responders like barbecue, but that was what they had suggested to me. Everybody seemed to like it, so I guess it was okay. It just seemed to be a very goodwill kind of thing, and we don't really have those connections except for maybe Paula and, you know, I guess, Stephanie, you have some too, but I mean, it's not something that we think in terms of doing. We're kind of a gated community, so we don't have a lot of, we hope we don't have a lot of association with them. And so I just thought, I don't think it's a nice thing. It's nothing, you know, I just thought that if anything were to ever happen or something complicated comes up, it's always nice to work with people that you have some kind of a relationship with. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, we had a small event here, or a small fire about a month ago,
yeah.
And we had a bunch of first responders on the campus helping us out. Yeah.
Three cities.
Yeah.
Three cities, yes.
Costa Mesa, Huntington. I think we used the Costa Mesa and Huntington Fire Department to refill all of our self-contained breathing apparatus tanks.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, for the confined space rescue.
Okay. Well, I just think those relationships are positive. That's all. So
I would like a comment, please.
Director of the school?
A Mesqua. We're going to say a Mesqua.
My apologies.
Okay.
I seem bad, Mayor.
I know. Just think of a messy squad, like a mess squad. Okay.
All right. By Director Valerie.
There you go. I really like Director Valerie. So, so I would just like to chime in. You know, I think that, you know, all the things that have gone on, everything that is going on, I'm a huge supporter of always recognizing our first responders, saying thank you. Little things matter. I think they get beat up all the time, not so much fire, but police. And so developing those positive relationships, they love when they get fed. And, you know, again, just recognizing them. And yes, they have different shifts and, you know, some will come, some won't. Invite the chiefs, you know, whichever chiefs you feel you need to. But I would support this because, you know, anytime we can say thank you, whether you're running into a fire or you're running in to save somebody in their home as an officer, you know, I say thank you. So I support this.
I'd like to move it.
Before you do, yes. I do have some comments. Is there another?
Director Bilodeau had his hand up.
Director Bilodeau. You're up.
Well, thank you, sir. You know, I just had a comment. So I guess on this first phase, it would be for Fountain Valley, which I think is appropriate. That's where our campus is, and that's where, you know, our major assets are located. I just want to make sure we don't get crazy with this. I mean, because this is government patting another government agency on the back. So I think we just got to be mindful of that, of how the perception might be. And also I agree with the mayor of Mesquite that, it's going to be somewhat difficult because these people work shifts, and, I doubt anybody's going to come to this on their own time. I couldn't imagine we're going to get hundreds of people attending this, but nevertheless, I don't have a problem with us providing a modest meal and giving people tours and things like that. And we really should invite the Fountain Valley PD to visit our campus more often if they want to park in the entryway to the district there and write reports. I know we in Orange, a lot of churches and things like that encourage our PD to park in their parking lots in the evening so that there's kind of a secondary protection for structures and things. So I just want to make sure this thing like blows up into some big annual event that is going to cost a lot of money. I think we should, I don't have a problem with trying this one time, but I don't think we should get crazy. So that's all. Thank you.
I would like to expand it to the people who respond to us. So that's Huntington Beach, Fountain Valley, Costa Mesa, right? Yeah. And that's not a huge number of people.
If you that later.
Yeah, I don't support this.
Okay.
Support. You know, if we felt led to do something, why don't we, starting with Fountain Valley, well, you can, because you're not going to have everyone there. And let's take with the fire, they have different shifts and what have you. Why don't we, if we want to do something, let's send them, a great, what works for them is we can send a catered meal over to them and thank them that way at their house, at their firehouse, and for all the different shifts. I mean, we're kind of involved in a lot. This is a lot more expense than I think what we need to do. You can, the same with the police. And I kind of always wondered if they're here at our little lunch and shouldn't they be out patrolling if that's what they're doing at that time? But that's always something I've always wondered at these events. So I think if we're going to do something, let's have it at their facility for their shifts and organize it that way. That to me would be a better gesture and not throw a party for ourselves. To pat ourselves on the back that we're thanking the cops and the police.
Except the idea, my idea was to get them to know us and to know our facility. It isn't, I mean, anybody can send donuts or lunch or dinner or something to the police and pizza sent all the time. The idea is to have them here, show our appreciation on our facility and let them see us and get to know us.
I don't know how often pizza's sent, but that seems a little out of bounds. But anyways, I think it should not be a big party here for ourselves. I think we're going to do something for the Fountain Valley that are serving us. We should, coordinate what's best for them. At least they're being out. We've talked to Fountain Valley Police and Fire, what would work for them, but taking them off their shift, taking them away from the fire station or on duty, I think it's better to bring them something. Maybe they'd like to get away from the fire station. Maybe they want some time away. This is going to get bigger and bigger, and this is not what we do. So I'm on this. I'm one of 10. We have a motion, though. Any other comments?
Right. Any other comments, questions? I don't mind doing it for the first year because this is our first initial effort to appreciate or thank the first responders, including the fire folks, right?
Yes.
As well, the EMTs, and for the opportunity for these folks to come and also visit our facilities, learn, and also appreciate what we do as well. If it works out, it works out. If next year it doesn't work out, then we'll reassess. We'll take it from there. So that's my input. We have a motion to approve and a second for allocation of $10,000.
Are we including maximum? The responders who respond to us?
Yeah. What are those bags called when you leave an event? Yeah, I'm giving them goodie bag. No, there's a different name for it.
Swag.
There, swear. There we go. We got to get the swag. But what's the budget for the swag bags? I mean, and everything else we're getting. I mean,
we give everybody who takes the tour.
So okay.
Swag bag.
Well,
I don't think the motion said anything about a swag bag.
Well, yeah, no, but where does it's going? Trust me, you're going to have those. So,
well, budget's not to exceed $10,000. So. Yeah. We have a motion. Second, please call.
Director Tran?
Yes.
Director Sheldon?
No.
Director Mesquite?
Yes.
Director Wigand?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
That motion carries 4-1.
Thank you. All right. Informational items. PWRS tour program updates.
Thank you, Chair Tran, and I know we are at the hour, so I will move through this quickly. This is an informational item, and we really just wanted to provide the board kind of with an update on our tour program, and I think we mentioned before there are certain areas that need enhancements, and we are running out of space to accommodate our tour guests as we share the campus with NWRI and MODOC. So we just kind of wanted to present one, an update of the tour program, the number of visitors we see, and then some of the challenges and perhaps some solutions, and then just get input from the board if they would like staff to move forward in exploring some options to enhance the tour route a little bit. So with that, I will turn it over to Kira, who does an excellent job of managing our tour program, so she can review quickly some of the information with you. Kira?
Thank you, Gina, and thank you, Director Tran, and all directors. I will go very quickly. As Gina mentioned, I know we're all tight on time, so I will speak quickly, so please stop me if I'm going too quickly. But I did want to just emphasize that the tour program is a very significant part of the district's mission, and we have been seeing visitors coming through since the beginning of going online at the groundwater replenishment system, more than 60,000 so far. We have seen a sharp rise in tours being scheduled post-COVID in the last year, and we are now getting to a point where we can do up to 5 tours a week or more. And it's just very important that we continue to operate the tour program and represent the district and the work we're doing at the groundwater replenishment system in a very professional and leadership-driven way. We're often called upon by industry professionals and associations asking us to host tours for the professionals or conference attendees. And it's very important that we showcase this world-renowned facility. And as Gina mentioned, it does need updating. So with that, some of the program goals that we as public affairs have talked about is the importance of making an impression and making sure that our displays and the facility is always looking sharp and showcasing the innovation that we use and the outstanding technology. We also really would like to see an increase in interactive displays, which would help to increase the understanding of the different levels of technology, whether it be at the school children level. We do middle school and high school students, as well as many, many university students. And technology and interactive displays really help to convey that message. And again, showcase OCWD's leadership in water reuse. Really, one of our largest challenges, as Gina alluded to, is space availability in large groups. So as I mentioned, we're seeing a sharp increase in the requests for tours. In 2024 alone, we welcomed 145 GWRS tours, and the majority of those were for groups larger than 15. And so the only space that we currently have is the boardroom to accommodate those groups, and we do share space. We compete for space with that. So that has become an issue, and we are often having to delay scheduling or sometimes having to turn groups away because we can't fit the date with any space. We would like to look into the possibility as an alternate using the lab conference room. In L1 is what it's called in the laboratory. It is not currently designed for presentations or classroom style setup, and it doesn't have visual displays. So there's lots of opportunity for us to kind of enhance that space and use that to be the primary tour presentation space. Danny? And with that, I'll turn it over to Gina.
All right. So with that, you know, possible solutions are to make L1 that dedicated conference room and to, use some funds to really enhance it and make it suitable with AV and also some educational displays. And it would also, once it's in the lab, it would give us an opportunity to really highlight and showcase the lab and all of the great work they do with testing and monitoring and water quality, which is such an important part of what OCWD does in monitoring the basin and the GWRS. And so this is just kind of some of the displays. You know, I know we've worked, Kira and I have been working with Mayhole and John to really look at the tour route. And so we just wanted to take some photos and show you, you know, we are able to, Mayhole's able to reach out to vendors and get displays and things like this. But, you know, some of them are just really kind of torn and looking kind of shaggy. And we would really like to take a moment and pause and be able to kind of invest some dollars in enhancing the education and the information. And now that the GWRS final expansion is up to date and online and no further expansions are going to come through, it's kind of a natural time for us to pause and really assess how can we improve the tour route and how can we make it more engaging for folks that are going through it, more interactive. We have received feedback, you know, as other water reuse projects and pilot projects are coming on board in California and throughout the U.S., there are kind of mini visitor centers, trailers, you know, educational kind of displays of different magnitudes. And while we are not recommending, you know, something like ARC or something like that, we would like to, you know, do a modest enhancement of the GWRS tour route so that we're able to continue to accommodate the tour program and really make it more engaging. And we do continue to, you know, we get media that comes through here. We get industry conferences from water reuse, from GRA, from, you know, kind of local, state, and national. So a lot of folks are coming through. A lot of folks are still, you know, media is still reaching out and doing stories. So we just want to make sure to kind of spruce up the facility and really bring all of the information and technology and the way that we're communicating the information up to date. And you'll see, I think Mesa Water, I don't know if some of you have seen it. They came online with the, gosh, I'm forgetting the name of their facility, Kira. I don't remember. Mesa Water Education facility. I'm not quite sure. Yeah, it's over at their MRF facility. And so they'll be doing a grand opening in March, I believe. Or Stacy may have more information if she's on the line. But they've really took the opportunity to really enhance the experience and not only showcase what they're doing, but, you know, display the information correctly and utilize technology to make it evergreen. So whatever we do end up using, if the board, you know, is approving of us going forward and implementing something like this, it would be something that's very easy to use. It wouldn't require a third party to, you know, update the system. Staff could do it. And so, you know, what we're recommending to the board is that mm-hmm. staff could go back and research kind of some different design concepts perhaps and put out an RFP so that we can obtain more information about, you know, what would these enhancements look like? What would the costs look like? And so we would bring that back to the board before even moving forward with implementing anything. So in the interest of time, I think I will stop there. These are just some photos of, some of them are at Mesa Water, excuse me. Some of them are at ARC, but just an idea of how other facilities are showcasing their project, information about water. So it just gives you an idea here. But with that, I will stop and hear any comments from the board. So again, just proposing that next steps be for staff to go back and solicit some design concepts and bids. We definitely will always identify opportunities to offset costs, whether it's working with our vendors. Mayhol has great contacts with all of them. And then just bring these concepts back to the committee and get your further input.
There's some neat ideas out there and other agencies are implementing them. So if it's okay with the committee, we would come back and show you a little more detail and then give you ideas of cost also. What's the appetite for, you know, how much money is the board comfortable spending? Some of these ideas can get expensive.
Yeah. Want to do the share, right?
Yeah, Steve. The interactive displays you mentioned, Gina. How much time does that take for everyone to go through one of those, and how does that relate to the amount of time you have on a tour, and how does all that work together with that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think the ones that we've looked at, you know, as you're going kind of through the facility, say you stop at MF, like that's where we're talking about. Maybe it's a new MF and it's visually shows something. It's not adding time, I think, to the tour route, because typically, say if Mayhol's giving the tour, I know Mayhol, you know, spends a lot of time at MF just talking about it. But we'd also have something where he could then point to or show some video and have a membrane there. I know we have it now, but they get really destroyed with the environment, the spiders, the webs, all the dirt. So we'd have maybe something enclosed with the membranes. And then I think what we're talking about, and again, we don't have any, concepts or anything like that, but just from things that we've looked at and seen other places, kind of along the tour route, you know, maybe there would just be things that would help guide the visitors through the experience, maybe at the transfer pump station, then right before entering, you know, RO, then at RO, UV, at the sink. So definitely that wouldn't take a lot of time, like, you know, have visitors stand and watch a video. But I think it would just help the tour guide be able to kind of make it more engaging, bring the information to life and to show more about, you know, I know when people come through, they always want to see where's the water, what's happening. Well, we'd be able to kind of show like this is what's happening when the water goes into the membranes. And so it's really kind of just enhancing the experience and not so much adding time.
Will you come back and bring us like when you just said how the what happens with the water when it goes through the membrane? Do we have that visual created already, or is that what you want to create?
Yeah, we definitely don't have anything created at this time, Dr. Sheldon. We're just kind of coming to you to get your approval for staff to kind of work on this, and we could absolutely come back and show you what those things would look like, or like John said, perhaps John going to Mesa or something like that and taking a tour, if that's the board's pleasure.
Okay. It's our pleasure. We don't need a
hold on that. Sorry, you don't need our permission to bring it back to us,
right?
Yeah,
right.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, please bring a more.
Not to bring it back, but to work on this and solicit as listed here, right? Solicit an RFP and all of that. So,
what is the range of cost?
I mean, I don't know. You know, we've talked to folks and they've just given very broad price tags of million to 3 million. So, I mean, we don't have as much information, as we need. So again, that's why we're, that's why we're seeking your approval to work on this further.
Can we charge for the tours?
You could ask Jeremy, maybe.
Yes, Bria, please do bring back some plans for us.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Okay, moving on to item 8, Children's Water Educational Festival.
So I will give this very quickly in the interest of time. So as you all likely know, the festival is our largest event that we've put on. It's in its 28th year. This year it's going to be in April at Oak Canyon Park. It's for 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders to come and learn for interactive activities. And this is just kind of an overview of where we're at. And next month, we'll provide some more in-detail information as we get a little bit closer. But we have almost 6,500 students registered, which is over 1,000 more than we had last year. So we're really excited about that. We have 54 presenters confirmed, which is almost already how many we had last year. And we're hoping to get even more, including OCWD departments leaving some of the booths. 44 volunteers, 15 sponsors, totaling $37,500 to help offset some of the costs. I'm hoping to get more of those as well. So with that, we'll just continue to recruit presenters, volunteers, sponsors, continue to meet to coordinate the event and provide updates as we move along.
Thank you. In terms of costs, really quickly, Gina, for this year, it's a lot less than when we were at UC Irvine, correct?
Yes, I mean, the cost of the venue, that is correct. It is less.
Right. If I recall, I mean, this year, so the budget, it's only $70,000?
No, that's the sponsorship goal.
The sponsorship, I'm sorry. Yeah. But what is the budget?
Though? Yeah, the budget for this event is $265,000.
Okay.
And that's for, again, you know, almost 6,500 students. So,
right. Refresh my memory. What was the cost at Irvine?
Well, our budget was the same, so that $265,000. But what happened at Irvine is that the venue, UCI, and the rentals really took up all of that cost. So we didn't have anything kind of left for, you know, perhaps creating educational materials or paying an educational presenter to come on site and teach the kids. And so that's what having it at a new venue will allow us to do, is to kind of spend some of those dollars on educational components of the festival.
We didn't save any money.
All right. Well,
redeployed the money.
Yes and no. Yeah.
That sounds familiar.
We redeployed the money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you guys save?
I think we've done pretty well, because with increasing costs, we've still like stuck at that budget for quite a while.
You've done great. You've done great.
Thank you.
Okay, number 9, public affairs outreach.
Well, I don't think anyone wants me to keep talking, but if it's the chair's pleasure, I will. But the information is contained in the packet.
Okay. there's always next month.
Yeah.
All right. We're moving towards the end here. Chair, directors, which arms? I think that's done already for consideration. Directors, announcements, and reports. I do have one request from GS department, or from the GM, former director, Assemblyman Trini Ta, and his staff has reached out to me. They wanted to do a town hall in light of what had happened with a fire in Los Angeles County and elsewhere. Recently, there's been a lot of questions about water availability or water supply. So someone in Ta's office wanted to do a town hall on this. They said that they will sponsor the mail, which they have a budget to send out mail to invite people to have OCWD co-sponsor town hall. All the details I don't have in terms of venues that we need to work out, and the date, time, and all of that, or the agenda. And also, they would like to set up a tour as well, some of their folks to visit. So could someone from our department contact the relevant Department of Public Affairs, contact Emmanuel Petrescu, who is the chief of staff at the district office, or Colin Edwards, who's the district director, also at the district office.
Yeah, I know them, and I can contact them. Thank you so much.
So okay. I have a question.
Yes, please.
When you say they're going to send out mail, they're going to send out mail inviting people. But what exactly is he looking for?
You mean they are or we
are? No, they're going to send the mail is what I heard you say.
Yes, they're basically it's an invitation based on my understanding or my past understanding of legislative mail. It's pretty regimented in terms of what they can put in, but it's basically informational to invite to the constituents within his district, which covers our district.
Right. And so it's just to talk about what's available, should there be a fire, just informational.
Yes, I'm not sure what the details or the contents of the agenda will be. I would think that our staff will work in details and pound out the details with some of the TAS district staff as well.
And the only reason I'm asking is because several cities I know have asked, you know, what happens if there's a fire? Are we ready? Are we ready? And I think earlier we talked about, you know, not opening the Pandora's box for a lot of things. And our involvement and the cost for staff and things of that nature. So I just want to be clear that if we start to do one, I'm sure we're going to get more because other cities are concerned as well. So can you bring it back with the cost or exact cost for our district? What is it going to cost us, if anything at all? If nothing, that's perfect.
I don't think it would cost anything other than staff time, and it's also falls within the mission of the public affairs office. And I think at the end of the day, this is something that we want to do anyways, to address or at least respond to some of the questions. Personally, I'm not sure if you are getting any questions, but I know that some of the directors, including me, I'm getting some calls on, in light of what's going on with the fires and what is our role, OCWD. So there's some misunderstanding there as well.
Oh, no, I've received questions, lots of questions, lots of emails. So, no, I'm not disagreeing with you. I just want to know exactly what are we going to do and will we be able to do this for other areas as well? And that's what I'm asking. So it's not a bad thing at all. It's just we should be prepared to be able to do this with other cities or we do, you know, that's why I said we bring it back, because maybe, John, you have something in mind to let the community know that if, you know, there is a fire or it starts, you know, we have the ability to really get involved. The district does and control that. And, you know, we're not lacking water in this area. I mean, you know, I just would like to talk about it more in the interest of time. We don't have that time right now.
Yeah, we'll meet with them and get the details and bring it back next month.
Well, yes, we'll make sure the staff will get the details for you.
Thank you so much.
Director Weigand has his hand up.
Yeah, I would echo those same things because I had a lot at city council level in Newport Beach, folks upset about wanting to know if our fire hydrants work. So our fire chief and our water team went out and did a lot of Q&A type stuff in the public already. So I want to just make sure that the assembly member's office reaches out to the producers too, and then maybe links in their cities so that their fire chief and their folks can be communicative too, because it's not just OCWD here. These are other, you know, the producers I think are the ones that are mostly responsible for those individual cities' needs. So, you know, I don't want to spend so much of staff's resources on something that should also be equally divided up by the cities that are in Assemblymember Ta's district and maybe the producers that are also in the district too. So I think we should come back to this and have a little bit more robust than just sending OCWD staff out for something that isn't necessarily 100% all them.
I agree 100%.
Yeah, agreed. The cities are on the front lines. They need to be a big part of this.
Yeah. We all had your same thoughts.
Yeah.
Okay. Hope you don't. Any other directors have anything? Moving on to the last item, general manager.
No comments.
No comments. All right. And that is it. Call for adjournment.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Have a good day, everybody. Bye.